Ruth, chapter 4. I don't even know what part this is. This is part 3. We've been on it for a little while. We might get through it today. Let's see what happens. This is not my regular notes. These are my sermon notes because I'm planning on preaching this today at Cloverdale. So let's do a quick background of where we are with chapter 4. Let me go back to the scriptures on the screen. And what we saw was that Boaz, a type of Christ, is fighting for and doing what he said he was going to do for Ruth. But he deals with Naomi first. Alright, we've already reviewed a lot of this, so we're going to press on. But in verse 9, Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Amaleks and all that was Chileans and Malians by the hand of Naomi. One of the good review points that I saw on this was Boaz is not ashamed of what he's doing for them, and he's not ashamed of them. Naomi is broke as a joke. Boaz is not ashamed of that. Ruth is the girl from across the tracks. He's not ashamed of that. And as we go through this story, the same thing that Boaz, I can't overemphasize this much, the same thing that Boaz is doing for them is the same thing that Christ does for us. He's our Boaz. He's our best. He's our redeemer. He fights for us. He's our defender. All right? So it's important to know that because that puts us in the story. All right. And we see that in these verses. And the other thing that we see is he says they're witnesses. And this was something that hit me last week. I mean, I didn't have it in my notes. Actually, I had to add some stuff in there. And it's about the witnesses. And the witnesses see what's happening, and it reminds them of their history or a story in the Bible, and they can say, if God is doing this, we've seen him do this before, we proclaim and we know that the blessing is going to come to you. Your future looks like this. Alright? So, that's just big stuff. I just like how that is happening. Alright. Okay, there we go. Okay. And we talk about, I just like this just from a reference point. The Lord will make the woman that is in thy house like Rachel and like Leah, which is the foundation of children of Israel. And as we get through the feast and we do some of this stuff, Leah is particularly important. The names of her children match the steps of the feast up until about step number 6 or 7, when you see the names of the children or whatever. So just awesome the way this story connects. Let's get to the new stuff. And the other thing that I said you guys asked about is I see Cloverdale in the story. All we got to do is follow the steps. I don't know what happens on September 9th, but it's in his hands. And I'm expecting him to bless. I'm just lining that church up to get ready to receive. I see us in the story. So, no, I don't have my 50 to 100 folk yet. But I'm still seeing the blessings. Let me give you a quick story. I don't know if I told you guys about this or not. I might have. I mean, I got 4 Bible studies, so I can't remember what I said from one thing to the next or whatever. But I saw a different aspect of the story. So I'm driving down the road. I'm coming up Taylor Road. And you know where the Hardee's is? Where you turn into the Hardee's off of Taylor. You know, you got the little, Divide. Thank you. That's what it's called. Yeah, the divide there. So I'm parked there waiting to make that left in there. And this other car comes up and gets in front of me.
Ooh, they've been doing that a lot lately. They did that to me.
So I'm like, Muttonhead. Yeah. And I've got my Christian music on and I'm playing my Sirius radio, station 63. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm just, I'm in.
Station 63?
Sirius Radio.
That's the same thing.
Oh, Sirius. Yeah, thank you, Al. All right, so I'm praising God. I'm sitting, Anthony, around level 5 or 6, man. I'm telling you, I'm doing real good, She cuts in front of me, and I'm like, no, you didn't. So now I'm all the way back. I'm off the charger, right? And she's looking at me, waving her hands like, you know, whatever, sorry, whatever, you know. Yeah. Well, if you didn't mean to do it, the teacher put right there and wait. And she takes off. The gap that I had to get over, she takes my spot. It's like surfing. She took my wave. So she takes off, and I'm like, Go through the steps. I'm like, it's okay. There's another wave coming. I can get across. She must be in a hurry. She must have an emergency. She's got to get to the doctor's appointment on time or whatever. That's what it is. God bless her. Shoot across.
Yay!
Thanks, Andrew.
You could get muted. Alright. I get in line at Hardee's. Guess who's in front of me?
She is.
You got in front of me just so you can get a biscuit before I do? I'm hot. I had to go through the steps again. She gets out of the car and comes back and says, oh, I'm so sorry I didn't see you there. What do you got, cataracts? I didn't see you. I'm so sorry or whatever. You know, in my mind, I'm going, it's okay. Please get back in your car and order because I'm in a hurry too. So she gets back in the car and she orders. She pulls on around. I get my order. Pull on around. Before she gets her food, she gets out of the car again. And I see green stuff.
Oh, goodness.
And I'm like, and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Let me bless you. And I'm like, ma'am, you don't have to do this. Don't have to do this. You know, no, I must. And she runs into her, and she says, because some people would be very upset with what I did, and you showed me kindness. Not everybody does that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm in the story, baby. I'm in the story. This is it. I'm about to get paid. And she brings the money and she tosses it into me, and it's
$2.
$2. What do you think I'm thinking? I'm thinking that you're going to pay, and she heard what I ordered. Because she said, here, I want to help out with your biscuit.
She didn't say
biscuit. No. I'm expecting her to pay for. Expecting her to pay for. She only gave me
$2. How much of
this? I was pissed. It was 2 for $5. She could have gave me $5. Now, I got to go back through the steps all over again.
Pick up your $2 worth of barley and move on.
Right?
Hey, right.
That's 3 hours
and
5 minutes. Right?
God bless you on purpose.
And that's where I missed it.
Peter.
Because. Okay, you got 3 seconds from joining Al and getting muted. That's reason enough right there. Stick with the story. And what I missed was I was expecting $5. I was expecting something greater. I was expecting something better. And I didn't. And this happened like about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. It was only yesterday that I realized what I had done. I forgave her, but not realize, because I did the level 5 thing and extended mercy and didn't flip her off or whatever we do when we're in the flesh, Moab actions, I got $2 that I didn't have before. Mm-hmm. Question, is that blessing a blessing?
Yeah.
Was it a result of me being in alignment with the steps and with God?
Mm-hmm.
Was it me ministering to her and I got a reward?
Yeah.
It's $2 more than... And I use those singles to bless the baristas that, you know, give them a little tip in their tip thing. So somebody else got blessed because of that. And I missed all of that because it didn't happen the way that I thought it was going to happen. And it didn't look like the way I thought it was going to look. But I got blessed. But the blessing wasn't what I thought. And that will not... Your success will sometimes throw you out of alignment. And you're right. It was a barley blessing because I didn't see the wheat blessing that was supposed to come. Jimmy asked me about Cloverdale. It ain't happening the way I expected it to happen. But my God, there are barley blessings all over the place. I'm tripping over blessings in that place. I got to stay the course. I got to understand how the story flows. Don't criticize and complain about how God is blessing just because he's not giving it to you the way you thought, in the volume that you thought, in the time that you thought. Bottom line is, you still got something that you didn't have before.
Amen.
So, Cloverdale is in the story. Alright, I've delayed this too long. Let us go, because Davey is on the line and he is waiting for me to get through this. Part 3, just some more key points. Boaz is the defender. He's willing to do what the law cannot do. He's proud of redeeming them both. There's a host of witnesses. Isn't there New Testament scriptures that talks about the host of witnesses? When we do Bible study, we take this Old Testament and we bring it back into the New Testament and vice versa. Now we're seeing how this story plays into our future and into the gospel. Alright? Okay. Verse 13. New stuff. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Now, you can cheat and look at my notes, but... Do you see what happened? She's at level 6 in the feast. 1, she's been humble. She's turned from Moab. She's got her faith and her hope and resurrected hope in this new place, trusting in the Word of God. She's been filled, representative of the Holy Spirit. What the Spirit has given her and filled her with, she's been able to do step 5 and extend mercy to others. Because that she's been reaching out and having mercy to others, she has opportunity to be blessed on purpose, level 6, and she can't do anything else. All she can do is trust in God to give her the victory, and now she's getting that victory, and she's getting ready to move from step 6 to step 7. And this is end time prophecy, because at step 6, the wedding ceremony of the bride of Christ, the church, us as believers, to Christ our Redeemer. Step 7 in his peace is on the way. What I'm trying to say here is the process is not stopped. Even though she gets that legal victory, the whole purpose of Christ fighting for her is that she might draw closer to him, that they might come together and be close. This is a feast study. We stopped here to talk about Ruth because that's what we're supposed to be doing, all right, as we wait for the rapture and feast number 5 to be fulfilled in the natural. But God wants us to draw closer. So the feasts are the steps to allow you to get closer to God. Make sense? And you really can get closer to God when you are kind and showing mercy to others. It's part of the step in the process where God comes closer to you. I know we have him at step three through the Word and Christ living in us, but he wants to get closer. I think the problem with Christianity or religion, not against religion, I'm just really pro-relationship. The problem is sometimes we get to a certain level and we stop right there. We think we're good enough. You can be a carnal Christian that keeps you in the outer court. I want to be a Christian that lives in the Holy of Holies, in the very presence of God. And you got to go through some steps to get to that place in the tabernacle. You got to go through some steps in these feasts to get to that place where he is living and dwelling and has dominion in your life. There are degrees. It's a process. He wants to draw closer to us. How do I get closer to God? Follow the steps. Do what Ruth does. That's her story. It's our story. You get closer to God when you follow these steps. Don't settle for less than his best. Ruth does not settle. Keep pursuing his best. How do I do that? You follow the steps. What does she do? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, blessing others with the overflow that she gets from the Spirit. Look what happens when she gets closer. The whole purpose of us getting closer is to bear fruit. Christ wants to get close enough to us that he births something in us. All right? So now, let's take this as a parable. Let's take this whole thing as a parable. Boaz, representing Christ, connects closer. They had a relationship. Now it's a closer relationship. When it gets closer, Christ puts something even more inside of us. Her. I know he gave us his holy. He gave us the Holy Spirit, but now he's going to draw closer, all right, through our obedience to the Spirit, and then something on the inside is going to. When you have that kind of connection with Christ, he's going to do something even more significant on the inside. Look at this from a natural parable. Once you have conception, what happens next?
Birth.
Boom. Before the birth. Don't rush to the $5 menu. You're still at the $2 part, all right? Something is birthed inside of you. What does he say? Something is birthed inside of you. And then it starts to grow and it shows. What's on the inside of you in Christ starts to show on the outside. And somebody should be able to look at you and see signs of Christ moving in you, doing something in you. It starts from the inside, but eventually it's going to show. Jimmy asked me a question. How's Cloverdale doing? Something's been birthed in there because we're trying to follow this process. But man, I ain't sin. I ain't got the 100 person baby yet. But something is starting to show. And when I drive up there, there's more cars in the parking lot than were ever there before. At one time, something started to show, but it hasn't come out yet. I don't know what it looks like. I just know that God's moving. It's not his move. And something good is going to come out of this. And when you, Lauren, and when you have, and you're showing, and you're seeing that God is doing something on the inside, is getting ready to birth, well, what do you do? Do you still go out and smoke 10 packs of cigarettes a day while you're under conception?
No, you feed it with good stuff.
Because you're protecting your future. Because you know how this is going to end. So you don't do the dumb things that jeopardize what God is getting ready to do in your life.
Just speaking to me.
Speaking to me too. If you already know his plan for your life, if you already know what he's getting ready to do, if you already see signs of growth developing, you do those things that protect what's getting ready to come out for the kingdom. There's some things I just can't do because I got to protect what I know is growing on the inside so that it comes out the right way. I was at the gas station, Lions Pride gas station yesterday. I went to go get some gas. And I saw this young lady out there. I'm like, oh my God. What she had on would have been inappropriate for the beach. And I drive by and I'm like, am I looking at what I just like looking at?
They'd be at Walmart like that.
And what is it? Is it new wear now? You wear bikinis? And
life, let's dress whatever we want to.
So I drive in way down the front. I'm getting my gas. And I'm like, I really want to look back to see if what I saw is really what I saw. And I'm like, no, I ain't. My glance is just good enough. I'm going to protect. I'm going to protect. I just kept. God is good. Because I got to protect what he put inside of me so I don't have a birth defect. So when I preach and teach, it don't come out looking deformed and messed up. So that when I preach and teach or whatever, it comes out and somebody gets blessed from the... I'm just saying.
Amen.
I can't let stuff on the outside impact what God has... Anyway, let's go.
Basically, I think when I see it, because it is very, very prevalent, even my Walmart delivery people... And I've got to pray for them, but for men to keep in mind, it's demonic. Yes. It's a demonic influence. It would cause people to be so deceived that they would not put on clothes and walk around.
Well, if you start to look at things from God's perspective, then you start to look at from their perspective.
Yeah.
Some people have low self-esteem. They want happiness, they want relationship, they want this, that, and the other. And they're going about it logically.
They're looking for it in the wrong place.
And they're going after it. They're going after something good the wrong way. I don't want to get too far off on that, but the gospel will...
What about their life experiences?
Well, my life experience ain't, well, you know, well, if you're young, you haven't had enough life experience to figure out you're getting ready to make a mistake.
Yeah.
All right. Oh!
Well, the deceiver's the reason we had to put on clothes in the first place.
Well, amen. I want you to see, so as I was looking at this, I saw something that I thought was interesting. Look at the scripture and see what's missing. See what's missing.
You have to read it for us. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son.
Something's missing. Let me show you something here. Let me show you something here. Look at this. Ruth the Moabitess.
So they changed how they were speaking of her.
What's missing?
The Moabitess part. She's now...
Most of the time when Ruth is referred to in this book, she is Ruth the Moabite. Rahab the harlot.
we get a new name when we're saved?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's
good. I just noticed that, and as I looked at that, I'm like, all throughout this story, she is commonly referred to as Ruth, the girl from the wrong side of the tracks.
Not anymore.
Amen.
From this point throughout the rest of the story and in the New Testament, the reference to her Moabite days are over. Application for today. I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't even care what you did 5 minutes ago. If you follow these steps and you get close to Christ, your reference point changes.
Yes.
You can let some things go. If you bring them with you into your new season, you bring them yourself, you should be set free. Amen. Friday night, I was at Kilby Prison. I preached a sermon on the parable of the sower and the seed and how you got to bury some things or whatever. And I'm like, I don't care what the Alabama Department of Corrections says or even what your family members say. When you come into Christ and you come into this thing or whatever, your record with Him is a sponge. Is that how you say that? Is that how you say it? Is that right? Okay. It's taken care of.
Justin Franklin said this morning, he said, I have closed all agencies and facilities to help people with drug addiction and alcohol addiction. He said, but there's one thing I don't agree with. He says, they say, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Once a drug addict, always a drug addict. He said, that's a lie. Because Jesus Christ makes all things new.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's the biggest lie.
When I was able to tell those guys, I know you're still here in Kilby, but just like that seed, it changes from the inside.
Yes.
And you can't see it, but that seed doesn't look the same anymore.
You may face temptation, but you are not that person anymore. Just like the things that we face.
So you got to protect your new identity.
Amen.
Whether it's at the gas station or wherever, you got to protect who you are and know who you are.
Can anyone else protect it? No. Only you and Jesus.
And the Holy Ghost that prompts in your spirit, hey, this ain't what Christians do. 9 guys got saved Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
I have passed out tracks. 25 of my tracks went missing. Had 24 Gideon Bibles. All gone. We got, who is it this? I don't know who at First Baptist is connected with the Gideons.
Yeah,
yep. He got it for us.
Okay.
How often do you go to Gideon?
It looks like it was going to be every other Friday, but it looks like it might be every Friday. Because we got a disciple. We're getting them saved, but now we got to make sure that it sticks in the right. Yeah. So keep praying for them. All right. Let me see some of my points that I have here. Application for today. This journey is about relationship and our standing with God and not necessarily religion. Christians can have a long distance or carnal relationship. Or they can have a closer, more spiritual relationship with God. You make the choice. I'm trying to birth some stuff. I'm trying to deliver some stuff for the kingdom. God's best and His desire is to have close fellowship with His people. Boaz is a type of Christ. If Boaz's desire is to, come on, listen to this. If Boaz's desire is that he wants to get closer to Ruth on purpose to produce fruit for the kingdom, what do you think Christ's desire is for us? Same thing. I feel convicted, not condemned, but convicted of all the times that I said on a Sunday or whatever, this is good enough. I'm doing better than Joe Blow on the golf course, so I must be okay. Heck, he might be a 7-day Adventist. What the heck do I know?
Psalm 73:28, but as for me, the nearness of God is good for me. I have made the Lord my refuge so that I may tell of all your works.
Say that for
Psalm 73:28. But as for me, the nearness of God is good for me.
I might have to read that today.
I have made the Lord my refuge so that I may tell of all, capital Y, your good, your works.
Woo! Well, there goes your lesson right there. But when you connect Psalm to that story, now you see what that's, oh my goodness. The Bible just lights itself up. All right. Oh. If you don't know how to draw closer to God, follow Ruth's example. Simple as that. Just follow the steps. All right. Christ doesn't want us to be aware of Him. He also wants to become part of us. That's the plan of God, and that's how we bear fruit for the kingdom. Get closer. All right. Think about it. God wants to use us and bless us in the same manner spiritually as Ruth. Along with this, there should be a physical manifestation of His presence in us. Growing in us. You can't help but see it, and something great's going to come out of this. It's growing. How I interact with people, it's growing. How I extend mercy to people is growing. I'm extending mercy because I got to protect what's inside me. Can't flip her off because she cut in front of me. I got to protect what's inside of me. I can't let anything from the outside get in me to mess up what He's got. Too many birth defect Christians. They look funny. They go, oh, and the worst birth defect Christian, thank you, Holy Ghost, is the waterhead Christian. Not making fun of anybody that's got a waterhead baby. I'm just saying, waterhead Christian, they so full of themselves that they're out of balance. And they don't even realize that they're not perfectly in alignment with what God wants to do. Let me keep going. Man, I'm taking too much time on this. Oh, and I just love this. Her past is no longer part of her present or her future. When you are connected to Christ and you accept Him, the label you used to have and who you used to be should not define you anymore. Let me say that one more time. Who you used to be. Alright? And the label that you used to have should not define you anymore. Unless you're outside a good relationship with Him and you start doing those things again. I'm sorry, Davey. I don't know if we're going to get through this. All right.
I think you need to take the whole lesson again next week.
I'm planning on doing, since we've been on this for like 4 weeks, my sermon next week is just a review of the main points. So maybe we'll do that. All right. I'm glad you guys are getting something out of this. All right. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that His name may be famous in Israel. Alright? The name goes on. And He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, they don't even call her Ruth the Moabite, thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, is better than 7 sons hath borne him. Again, Naomi's probably in Moab thinking, this is how this is going to play out. And when Moab blew up, it's like, this is the only way I see that this could happen. I don't see how it's going to happen because I can't have any more kids at my age, and then they're certainly not going to wait for them to grow up or whatever. No, that's not going to happen. But one Ruth is better than seven sons. Wow. I'm thinking about my sister-in-law who stayed with my mom for 7 years. Lived with her for 7 years and was her primary caretaker for 7 years. And she was better to my mom than the two sons that my mom had. Wow. It doesn't happen always the way you expect it to happen. And it may not happen from the people that you expected it to happen from and to and with. But if God is in it, it'll be better than what you had expected and planned.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you how 9 people got saved. You know, at Kilby, we've had probably, in the last 8 months to a year, we probably had about 150 professions of faith out of that one prison. That doesn't happen unless I get let go from Alpha. The place where I'm supposed to retire from. The place where I'm making, you know, good six-figure salary or whatever and have a nice position. And they let me go. But I've been doing this long enough to know that if he lets me go, he has to bless me on purpose. There must be something better. So I got a couple other jobs, and then all of a sudden I get the job at the base, and it's for less money. A lot less money. But they showed me a program called Moodle, online web program. And because of this online web program, I learned how to do it. I didn't want to learn how to do it. Whatever job you get, if they show you something, you learn how to do it, as long as it's, all right? And so I'm like, I don't want to do this. This is not what I got hired for. So I learned how to work this Moodle thing. All of a sudden, I get this gig at First Baptist Church as the prison director, and we have this little dinner or whatever, and I meet the state chaplain, and he says, Chuck, meeting people, collaboration. He says, Chuck, COVID just hit, and we can't do any of the training in person anymore. You got any ideas? Well, this is a thing called Moodle, and it's an online learning system. I just learned how to do it at the job that I have now. So now the entire state of Alabama Department of Corrections goes to my website to get trained. You can't even get into the prison unless you come through my site and take the pre-training and everything else on my website. And I'm the interim pastor of Cloverdale. And when COVID hit, all right, it knocked all the ministries out of the prison. And not all the ministries trying to get back in the prison. And First Baptist, which had a ministry at Kilby, couldn't get back into Kilby. So I made a call. And I'm like, I'm the guy with the website chat, remember? Yeah. Can I get back into Kilby? In 30 minutes, we were back in Kilby. If I was still working at Alpha, I wouldn't have the bandwidth. I wouldn't know anything about Moodle. I wouldn't be talking to you about Kilby. I wouldn't be... I lost some money, but I gained kingdom fruit that I never thought... And in 6 weeks, get ready to retire from my civilian job. Sometimes what we go through is for the kingdom and we don't see it. Because God knew there was no way I was ever going to walk away from my job at Alpha. No way. He had to move me by allowing something to happen to me so I can get in better alignment with him. And now all of a sudden I'm looking at, shoot, if I had known all this was going to happen, I would have walked away from Alpha myself. But then it's good that I did it to God's way, because then I got severance pay. So amen. I wouldn't have got the severance pay if I walked away. It's not what Naomi probably thought. But oh my God, when God is in it, it's better than what she could have ever imagined. And look at the pain she didn't have to go through. Men can't, women, would you rather have one Ruth or go through seven childbirths? Well, you do it the way God said, you can save yourself some pain and heartache. All right. Amen. All right. All right.
The best is yet to come.
And the best is yet to come. I'm going to give you 2 more minutes. I'm going to finish this. All right. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. That's a dry nurse for your way. That's a dry nurse. There ain't nothing coming out of those things. That's just a dry nurse. Okay.
TMI. TMI.
Keep my neck, keep moving. All right. Naomi took the child, laid in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women of her neighbors gave it a name, saying, there is a son born unto Naomi, and they called his name Obed. Obed means servant. Serve, and he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And David is in the line of Christ.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Now, remind me that we're going to finish up this chapter, alright, and then I'm going to do a review, but I got to get ready and go, but I want you to see something here. Next week's going to be powerful because we're just going to split this up and look at the roles and figure out what role we play in this story. But
this was powerful. This week was powerful.
Amen. But look at this. Whose child is it?
It's Ruth's child.
Who's?
Ruth birthed the child, but it's in place of Naomi.
Ooh. How did Naomi get to hold on to something that she never thought she would ever hold on to after spending so much time in Moab?
She returned to
Israel. She followed the steps. If Roger, thank you. I'm just writing. Naomi gets to hold on to something, all right, that doesn't even belong to her. She gets to enjoy something that she never thought was going to happen. She's enjoying Ruth's best, and she's getting credit as being blessed. And it never would have happened unless she followed the steps and repented, left Moab, and got back into the place of promise. And it never would have happened beyond that. She could have stopped right there and lived in poverty the rest of her life. But she did something else. She mentored and shared what she knew. It ain't always about your checkbook. She shared what the overflow of what she knew, she shared with Ruth. And because she blessed Ruth, she gets to enjoy the blessings that Ruth got.
Mm-hmm.
When Ruth got the best, Naomi got to enjoy. Anybody a parent here? What your kid might not be doing it. Well, your kid might be doing it, but don't you get to enjoy what the child is doing in your name? If that's what happens in the natural, what do you think about the spiritual babies and the spiritual children that we can sow into, and when they achieve greatness for the kingdom, we get credit for it, and we get blessed? I don't know who turned Billy Graham around, but whoever turned Billy Graham around, they have just gained interest and interest and interest and interest and interest and interest, and I don't know who he is, but God does. So, I gotta go. But we gotta break this thing up just a little bit more to figure out the significance of Naomi in the story. But she's holding on to something because she invested in somebody else in the kingdom. You can't get God's best without blessing somebody else when he sets you up for that. It's part of the process. He works for you when you, and that's why September 9th has got to be so critical for Cloverdale, because until they reach out, after they've reached up, they can never hold on to something that they never thought they would be able to hold on to again.
The woman with the pot of oil. She went out to her neighbors. She borrowed the vessels. They came back in and filled them up. And then she had the son and she kept her son.
And she thought they were gone.
Yeah.
Your best is yet to come. All right, I got to go.
Thank you. All
right. Who's out next week? Oh, okay.